Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting episode of Are You Not Entertained? This is episode 133, and today's date is October 19th, 2018. My name is Carrie, and I'll be your host for the evening. And as always, I am joined by Kent. Kent, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. Have you noticed that, like, when we're doing, like, the two-person thing here, there's not that weird, uncomfortable 5 seconds of silence from, hey, how's it going, to Russ finally, like, oh, it's my turn to speak? Hey!
Like, I know.
It's nice. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I think I finally caught up on the sleep I didn't get from coming home at almost 1 o'clock in the morning from SmackDown Live on Tuesday. Metro.
Yeah, we're doing this on a Friday as opposed to a Wednesday.
Yes,
really doesn't matter because I never get the podcast out until Saturday, usually anyway, or Sunday. So who cares?
Exactly. But, well, the plus side of this is we still don't have Russ.
Oh, man. Seth Rollins is crying somewhere. He needs all the fan support he can get.
He's the best wrestler in the world, and he wants to wrestle my boy to prove it.
I swear to God, when this happens, we are going to have a debate. I'm going to score points, and this will be the worst thing that's ever happened on this podcast. I may cut myself beforehand. I don't know. Or at least drink heavily. I don't know. But something will come of it.
If it ever happens, what I'll do is I'll send you up a bottle of, like, whatever your favorite liquor is. You can feel free to drink it while Russ and I are talking. I have a feeling Russ is probably just going to just talk the whole entire time, and I'm not going to get a word in edgewise. Even though my wrestler is better than his is.
Speaking of drinking, I had this beer. I think it was called, like, Red Plaid. It wasn't bad, but goddamn, that had, like, I don't even know, 8.5, 9% of alcohol in it. It was a harsh mistress.
Wow. Interesting name and strong. Oof.
Yeah. I was with Tom, and Tom wears lots of plaid. And I just got the Sam M's Oktoberfest beer because, you know, that time of year.
Oh, those are fantastic. I just had one of those this weekend when I was at the Maryland Renaissance Festival. It was so good.
Did you know that there's, like, a Dunkin' Donuts beer?
No, but now I want to see it. Or at least, like, try it.
It's like a coffee porter.
Okay, no. I don't like porters. I don't like them in any shape or form. Especially the chocolate ones. The chocolate ones are just... ugh.
They're weird, yeah. I looked at it, I was like, nope, that ain't happening, so. Oh, well.
But I did get to see, speaking of Maryland Renaissance Festival, I actually got to see some wrestling while I was there.
So, not jousting, but wrestling?
Yes, it was a professional wrestling skit, but it was basically Shakespeare done with professional wrestlers. It was amazing. Eric has a t-shirt for it. It was called the Renaissance Rumble. It's fantastic.
That just kind of sounds like... Did you ever see the South Park WWE episode?
I believe I did.
It kind of, you know, like, because the way they portrayed Vince is like this poetic Shakespeare. Like, that's all I could think of when you just described that. I don't know why. So, yeah.
It was fantastic. They basically had some guy pretend to be Hulk Hogan. They had a guy pretend to be, like, playing one of the Shakespearean characters, but he was basically Hulk Hogan. And then there was another guy who was... basically playing another Shakespearean character, but he was essentially Macho Man.
Oh, yeah.
There was another guy came out and was basically talking like Dusty. It was great. It was well worth the 20 minutes we sat there to watch it. It was amazing. I think it was the best thing that happened on Saturday.
All of a sudden, I could, like, see a wrestling version of Romeo and Juliet somehow playing out.
That actually has happened. That actually happened.
Oh, good lord. Okay.
Except it was done with luchadors.
I would watch that. Who am I to judge?
All right, listeners. For our first-time listeners, who I'm sure are extremely confused at this point, first, welcome to our show. Second, We actually do talk about all things wrestling. Yes, we go off on tangents. Yes, we make fun of Russ, who's another member of this band of characters. At some point, he'll be back. We don't know when. And just this week, we're going to talk about SmackDown 1000. Talk about some things that happened on Raw. I don't know. Raw wasn't really memorable this week. And, of course, we have our weekly segments for you as well. But before we do any of that, Kent, what's your moment of bliss for the week?
So yesterday, what I did, we're doing on the horror movie group, we're doing this top five zombie flick list thing. And I mean, as you can imagine, I've seen plenty of zombie flicks, but oddly enough, I had not seen all of the George Romero movies. And I mean, he's the godfather or whatever of them, basically. I never actually fully watched Dawn of the Dead, which is considered like one of the greats. It's almost kind of like Godfather 2 in the fact that it's long, it's widely regarded. It has an 8.0 on IMDb, which is insanely high for a horror flick. And then I watched it and I was like, it was okay. I do not understand the absolute love that it got. It was okay. I've enjoyed most of them. So I did five of them because I've seen Night of the Living Dead so many times. I couldn't write a blog on it. I've already written the blog on it that like people don't understand. There's no point in me watching a movie that I've already seen. Like, even in my free time, I'm watching horror movies. I'm not even counting them towards my 100. Like, I think I've watched almost the whole Saw franchise during this month, just on breaks. So, yeah. But that may have sounded all negative. I will give a positive. It's a film called Dave Made a Maze. And the reason I can bring this up is because John Hennigan, Johnny Nitro, Johnny Abs, Johnny Mundo, I'm sure he has a bunch of other nicknames, but, you know,
Johnny
that guy.
Impact.
Yeah, he's the Impact champion, so yeah. Like, he's in it, he's a Minotaur, or Minotaur. Is it Tor or Tar?
Minotaur.
Minotaur, okay. This movie is such a weird, it's not horror it's listed as horror, it's comedy, it's fantasy, it's horror. This dude, this, like, schmuck, he makes this cardboard fort basically in the middle of his living room, and his hot, I think she's Indian, girlfriend shows up and she's like, "What are you doing? I've been gone for 3 days." It's like, "Yeah, I've kind of been stuck in here." And this all sounds absolutely ridiculous, but she like tries to shake in like all sorts of stuff, like it's crazy. So she calls a few friends over. Nobody can figure out what to do, that you can't cut it open. So they enter it. And it's like this weird, it's a labyrinth with traps. And what's interesting, the horror aspect is like somebody sets off a trap and like gets their throat slit. And instead of blood coming out, it's red yarn that comes pouring out. So it's almost kind of kid friendly if it wasn't for the language. And there's just so many silly things. Like at some point they use like dolls or puppets in place of them. It's very artsy, creative, but funny. And Johnny Abs is a Minotaur. So, like, there's just a lot of things to like about it, and I recommend it. It's on Hulu for anybody that has Hulu, which, I don't know, I'd say at least, like, I don't know, that's a good 40% of America, maybe? I don't know. Maybe I'm overshooting that number. 30?
It's a close estimate. I know, we appreciate Hulu on this podcast.
Yeah. I just wish that they would sponsor us, and then Russ would shut the hell up about complaining about Hulu. Although he hasn't complained now, he's off that bandwagon finally. So anyway, that was really my moment of bliss. I really recommend that one if you want something a little different that's kind of funny.
And it has Johnny Abs in it, which is always a good thing.
I did find I found a film called, I think it's called Manor House, and it has Kevin Nash as like a priest in it. I have not watched it yet, but I'm so watching it.
I have no words to describe that. Then again, I've seen him as a male stripper, so, you know.
Oh, yeah. What was his name? Tarzan, right?
Tarzan.
Yeah. Yeah. I still haven't seen part two of that.
Part two is decent. I think it was... It was more just... I don't know. It was okay.
I didn't care much for the storyline in part one or the romance involved. Russ Seth Rollins as this is going to sound, I really cared about the dancing part of it because that was like the funnier parts of the film in its own strange way, right? The storyline itself, though, didn't... I don't know.
If you watch only one scene from the second movie, watch the scene with, what's his name from True Blood? Joe Mandicliano or whatever his name is. You will never listen to Closer by Nine Inch Nails the same way again.
Okay. I mean, as is now, every time I hear the Super Mario Brothers song, because I don't know if you ever heard that mix. That's weird, so... Yeah, so, I would go and look that up on YouTube, I suppose, if I could find it. So.
It's probably up there. Some woman probably, you know, recorded it with her phone and put it up there.
Absolutely. All right, let's talk Raw. SmackDown 1000.
Yes, yeah, SmackDown 1000. I was actually there live for this. It was a pretty interesting crowd. I was sitting with the wrestling hipsters. There were a lot of them around me. I was with my people.
I'm sorry for your loss.
No, it was nice because we didn't have to censor ourselves.
There are perks to that, I suppose. Sure.
They were fun too. I knew it was something special when I saw Bullet Club, Elite, and stuff like that just sitting in front of me. I also saw a young child wearing a New Japan shirt, and I thought that they were. I was like, that parent is raising their child correctly.
I don't have words.
But all in all, it was a good show to see live. I think that there was definitely a difference between what you got live and what you got on your television.
Well, yeah, it sounded like a lot of stuff kind of got cut due to time constraints and all this stuff. I don't know. It definitely seemed like a show that'd been more fun live. Unlike Raw 25, where you had to choose one of two buildings, at least they had everything there in one place.
Yes, and I felt bad for the people who were in the Manhattan Center. Because they really got shafted.
Yeah, they got the shaft. Absolutely.
All right, let's get into SmackDown 1000. Let's talk about the first opening segment. We had the return of Truth TV and the 7-second dance break. As soon as Eric and I saw that that's what they were going with to start, Eric's like, okay, this is a good start.
It was. Now, Carmella added a little color to her hair, right?
Yeah, it's kind of a pink now. I really, like a pinkish, almost magenta type thing. And I really like it. I really dig it on her.
I like it better than when she first did it, it was more just a brown. Now it has some color to it. And I think it looks really good on her.
It makes everything, like her skin tone pop, her eyes pop. She looks fantastic now. It looks really good.
I saw this segment and obviously you know... I mean, based on what we saw for Raw 25, you had a good inkling of where this was going right off the bat. And I was just happy for Truth because not many guys have been there as long as he has. And, you know, like he gets lost in the shuffle so often. It was nice that it was almost kind of like a lifetime achievement award. And right? Like what? Like didn't that kind of feel?
Absolutely. I mean, who better to get the segment with the McMahons?
Like, under normal circumstances, you would have thought it would have been Miz TV, but they gave it the Truth, and I was much happier, honestly, as much as I like Miz, I was happier that Truth got this particular spot.
Yeah, it was well deserved.
And Stephanie, I don't ever want Stephanie to change. I just, there's something so, I don't know, funny about how she does everything that, like, she knows what she's doing. She's mastered the art of doing what she does, and it's wonderful. Vince looks like he's lost some weight. He looks like in good shape, though. Like, I don't know, like, how'd he look in person?
He looked great. For a man of his age, he looks fantastic. He really does. I mean, I would say he almost looked a lot spryer than he did the last time we saw him. He looked good.
He looked comfortable. Shane is the one that looked horrible. I thought Shane looked like he packed on like 20 pounds and just kind of looked like, I don't know. He didn't look as healthy as last time I saw Shane. I didn't feel. I don't know.
Well, Shane's been off the road, probably having fun with the family. Apparently he might be going back on as part of a storyline, though.
I'd be fine if he returns. I don't need him as a storyline necessarily. Like, I know the McMahons like to interject themselves, but honestly, I still like what Paige is doing. Although, I guess Shane gets involved because he can compete, whereas Paige can't.
This is true.
All in all, though, great segment, great fun. The crowd was singing No Chance in Hell, right?
Yes, they were.
Have you ever thought about that? Like, I don't know, I can't remember who I've had this conversation with, but have you ever just sat back and thought, like, how many billionaires out there can just walk out to a song about No Chance in Hell? Like, think about how absurd and ridiculous that is for a moment, and then realize how perfect it is for him. It's like, it's such a weird thing. I can't... imagine Bill Gates just randomly coming out to No Chance in Hell. It doesn't quite work.
Nope, it doesn't work for him. Not even Mark Cuban. Doesn't work for Mark Cuban either.
No, Cuban... Oh, God. I could think of a lot of things for Cuban, too. I'm a fan of Cuban, but he owns the Mavericks, and they're my team, so...
Fair enough.
All right, what was the second segment we got going on?
We had AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan versus the Usos. I thought this was completely random, and I also... And that's exactly what I said to Eric. I looked at him, I said, well, this is random. And, yeah, it was.
When I saw this matchup, I said two things. I said... Usos are going to win because they're going to have one of those spots to kind of build up the AJ and Daniel feud. There's no reason for those two to win the match. I mean, it just makes more sense because that way it helps you get another tag team over. And that's also the point in which I said, I have a good idea of what's happening in the tag team championship match as far as the final outcome. Because we weren't going to get New Day versus Usos again, I didn't feel, for the championship. So, I don't know, there was two hints dropped in that, I felt. Oh, no, I liked it. It wasn't bad. I'm still over Daniel Bryan, but everything else I enjoyed.
Yeah, I mean, it was a good match. It seemed short. I don't know if it seemed short on TV, but it seemed short to me.
I think it got two segments, but now I really... Everything's kind of a weird blur for me, so I don't fully remember. I don't even... No, I was sober for this. I don't remember.
Yeah. It was a random match that set up some good storylines. Let's see. Next, we had a backstage segment with all the SmackDown GMs. We had Paige, Vicky Guerrero, Teddy Long, and John Laurinaitis. That was nice, especially seeing Vicky. It's always good to see Vicky.
Am I wrong, though, in saying that it almost seemed, I don't know, Vicky, I felt they could have done a little bit different with Vicky because it felt almost awkward for a moment. I was like, They should have wrote something a little bit better. I mean, Vicky was the most important of those. Not most important. Her and Paige both have been important. But, I mean, Vicky really is probably the best GM they've ever had. And, like, I got the excuse me thing, but I don't know. I wanted more from Vicky. I admit, I just wanted more from her. I could have gone for a talking segment with Vicky Guerrero. She's always amusing to me, so.
Or a mentor situation where she would mentor Paige.
Oh, that would be, really fun. I would love to have Vicky come back, but didn't she just, like, recently win a scholarship or something from WWE for college or something of that nature?
I think so. I think she's going back to school for something. I just don't remember what right now. I want to say probably real estate or something like that, because that seems to be what everybody, all the women from the company do after they leave, is they go into real estate.
You would think, though, she should have some bank by now, shouldn't she?
You would think. I mean, I doubt she burned through all the money that she made while she was on, and definitely probably not Eddie's either.
Plus, I mean, she's still getting royalty from both her and Eddie.
That's true.
But, I mean, good for her. I mean, she's still motivated at, I mean, what is she? She's got to be in her 40s by now. So, I mean, yeah, good for her. Still being motivated, still working. Gotta love Vicky.
Exactly. She's always good to see. Speaking of people that are good to see, let's talk about the next segment. We had the Evolution reunion. It was so good to see Big Dave. At least now that he can actually cut a promo. That was a great promo.
It was, and looking on a couple of places, people are like, what, he doesn't know how to shorten his promo? I'm like, who cares? Based on what we had to quote-unquote cut short, who cares? Like, that was a good promo, and I'll take a good promo that goes a little longer than some of the other stuff that was waiting in the wings, so to speak. And I liked, more than anything, I really liked Randy's promo, too. Because Randy still kind of kept his dick side, and I liked that Dave kind of threw it back at Randy, so, like, it left Dave with two potential opponents. Give me more Bautista, Bluetista. I don't care what Tista, but just, give me more. I'm ready for it.
And you're definitely ready for Bautista versus Triple H if and when it ever happens.
I didn't necessarily say that.
Oh, you know it's slightly interests you.
I don't know if there's a Triple H feud that interests me anymore. If I'm being 100% honest, I love Triple H. I'll offer one person that had my interest about 2 to 3 years ago and it never happened, but one night it almost happened. Bray Wyatt. And the crowd went apeshit on a Raw episode because Bray was sick of taking his shit. And it never went anywhere. I think Bray may have gotten hurt. That may have been the year Bray didn't make it to Mania. And that is something I would like to see. But by and large, I'd rather see Bautista versus one of the younger guys. If we're being honest, like, I don't need another Triple H match. If he retired today, would I be upset? No. Like, I've seen Triple H in pretty much every matchup that I want to see. I mean, really, is there anybody on the roster that isn't, like, in their 40s that you'd want to see Triple H with anymore?
No. Bautista, on the other hand, who would we like to see him with? Like, who would we like to see him put over?
I think Drew McIntyre could carry him to an excellent match, and on the mic, I think those two guys would be money.
I'd like it.
Him and Andrade. Andrade would definitely be able to hold the match. Those would be the two matches. Because Big Dave and Ray had a feud for a while, I remember, and it was pretty good. Now you get a bigger version of Ray, who also can hold his own on the mic. Andrade, the The guy that never gets props.
Nor have we seen for the past however many weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not surprised.
We haven't seen him since... them... well, him or Zelina since Zelina took a knee to the face from Brie Bella.
I find that hard to believe that Brie would have been sloppy. And shame on you! How dare you! I mean, she is a safe person, and everybody's got to come to her defense, including her husband. Shame on you for dare. It was an accident, okay?
All right. I'll stop bullying her. Because she felt so bullied because of that situation.
Bladass Bella. You know, it's weird to watch Rick, because you watch him through that whole segment. If you just watch Rick the whole segment, what? Drink every time that you think he's gnawing to just say something on the mic, knowing that's not his turn yet. Oh my god, you'd get tanked. You'd get so tanked. Because you see it in his eye, he's like, oh, I could say something right now. And then he held back by and large as well as possible. But man, he wanted to.
Yeah, I have to say though, he looked really good.
He looks better now than he did like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
The old men are getting rejuvenated.
I think he should have stopped drinking a long time ago.
Well, that goes without saying that, yes, he should have. But, you know, that's what makes him him. He, I don't know, just living the gimmick.
That's true. That is very true. A lot of guys do that. But all in all, it was a good reunion. I was glad I was there to see it. Moving on. Let's see. We had one of the qualifying matches for Crown Jewel. We had Rusev versus The Miz. Aiden interfered and cost Rusev the match. So that's still a thing and still continuing. I wonder how much longer they're going to keep that up before everybody gets bored with it. Or are we already there?
Unless Vicky's coming back to manage Aiden, which I'm 20 million percent for right now, even though Aiden can talk on the mic, if you put Vicky with him, he's going to draw some new clear heat, and then he would get the spotlight put on him. But I mean, shit, we've been saying this for, well, since Shaw was with the company. I mean, this should have happened years ago. Aiden should be a star by now, had they been smart. Maybe they approached Vicky about it. Maybe she, you know, chose the education route. I don't know, but God, I'd really like to see Aiden just like adopt the Guerrero name, because that would get him major heat.
That's true. And heck, bring in back Shaw.
Yeah, and you don't need Vicky in there for a long time. Just enough to just draw the heat. And yeah. This match, was it less than 2 minutes? Because it felt incredibly short.
Yeah, it was short. Like, if you blinked, you missed it.
Yeah, I don't remember a goddamn thing from the match other than Rusev getting his hands on Aiden. I was like, who else was in this match? I had to think about who else was in the match, because Aiden got more screen time than The Miz.
Yeah, it was like, next thing you knew, you just, like, you saw him come out. I'm like...
So... Miz is by far and away the youngest competitor so far in this World Cup, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Good for him. All those young pups.
Yeah, there's so many up-and-comers in this tournament. It's great.
And yet, nobody from Brazil. I'm so confused.
Do we have a Brazilian wrestler we can put in there?
If we do, they'd have to be an NXT and probably a female.
Oh, yes, there is a female wrestler from Brazil in NXT.
Getting off topic really briefly, but you've been mentioning Chelsea Green for the past month. I just found out who the hell she was. I didn't realize that was Laurel Van Ness from TNA.
Yep.
Her hair... is thrown me off so freaking much. I remember towards the end of her run, all she did, she was great. She was hilarious on TNA because she has played the jilted bride that still ran around in her bridal dress with like streaked makeup and stuff, acting crazy. I was like, I love this lady all of a sudden. Like, she finally had a gimmick that worked for her. But you say she's good in the ring now?
Yeah, I think she's decent. I never saw. She's decent. I like her character, too. Like, she took that jilted bride thing and took it, like, another step further and basically became the hot mess.
Yeah, she was great. Like, so, yeah, I don't know why that just came up, but, yeah, I was like, holy shit, I don't know. Some of these things, you know, takes a couple months to put pieces together.
And she just signed. She just reported.
That's how I found out, is the press release. And I was like, oh.
Now she looks familiar. And she's also Zack Ryder's girlfriend.
Woo, woo, woo. I think I knew that. Yeah. What's the next segment we got?
All right. So we had a quick backstage segment with Curt Hawkins. We had a small Edgehead reunion minus the Zack Ryder.
Wow, Zack Ryder just got brought up twice in the same... What did hell freeze over?
Hey, at least he's getting a mention. He gets a mention on the podcast twice. He hasn't been on TV in months. I think we're helping Zack Ryder here.
Like, what the hell was he doing where he wasn't available?
No
Is
idea.
Is that confusing? I'm so confused, like... Because hasn't him and Kurt been doing, like, YouTube videos lately?
I believe so, and I don't believe Zack Ryder's injured.
No. No, he just had a match where he went over Mojo a few weeks ago on Main Event or something. So he's fine. Unless he had, like, some promotional tour, it just kind of seems a little weird that Zack Ryder was too busy for this segment.
That's just strange. But it was nice. It was a good nostalgia segment. But speaking of Edge, let's talk about the Cutting Edge segment with Becky. And I know you have some thoughts on this, so I'll let you go first.
It didn't make sense. It was a logical fallacy. Edge, you would not have your 10 or 11 whatever championships had you not did what you did. You wouldn't be the star that you would be. But none of that matters as much as why is he still like trying to act like Charlotte is the one that got stabbed in the back here, when every time that there's pretty much a sneak attack as of late, it's Charlotte. Charlotte is the one that attacked Becky Lynch. Becky didn't hit first. Becky was being peaceful. Charlotte, once again, took a Charlotte shortcut. Yet she's the victim? Like, I don't think Edge even felt like he was saying these things. He was just like, oh, I came back for this. Okay, great. So, while it's cool to have Edge and Becky in the same ring, that was garbage, as far as I'm concerned. What'd you think?
I enjoyed Becky in this segment. I thought Edge trying to sell her on that her choices were bad and she should feel bad when he's basically done everything she has in terms of just, you know, making it about the title, which it should be. If you're trying to get ahead, you want to get to the top, that's where your focus has got to be. It shouldn't be on friendships and keeping everybody happy and, you know, together and, you know, friendship and harmony. And no, I like what Becky's character is about now.
Like, I mean, it's the equivalent of having Ric Flair or Randy Orton cut in that exact same promo. You'd call bullshit on both of those too, because none of those guys should ever be telling another person, no, you shouldn't be stabbing people in the back to get the belt. No, that's what you guys are all about. You should be mentoring Becky and being like, no, take it one step further. That, once again, Becky, no matter what WWE tries, I don't think that they're going to turn the crowd on Becky anytime soon.
Oh,
and
no,
I don't know
not.
Why are they trying? Does it really make any sense at this point to keep fighting it? Like, I understand when they fight to try to keep the fans on Cena's side because he's selling merchandise and kids love him. I get that to an extent. Why are you fighting the crowd openly cheering this person, though? Like, isn't that dollar signs?
You would think, but it's the whole concept that we've talked about time and time again. It's they want us to cheer who they want. Basically, they would like us to cheer for, and we're not doing that.
Is it possible, though? And I know I'm giving way too much credit, and this is just foolish to lock me in a mental institution, that WWE is aware of what they're doing, and they intentionally keep doing it because they know that this is almost kind of like that rebellious thing like they had with Daniel Bryan. It was almost a rebellious act by the fans, and like, has anybody thought, you know, if all of a sudden we start pushing Becky's face, this isn't going to work as well, and she's going to lose a lot of momentum, so maybe it's better to kind of keep her in this quote-unquote heel groove because the fans are just embracing her? Is that a possibility, do you think?
Well, I mean, they hit lightning in a bottle before with Daniel Bryan, and they're basically doing the same thing now with Becky. They're taking someone who had the potential of being a star and basically making her one through tactics that are kind of questionable. Like, why would we feel bad for Charlotte? Nobody should feel bad for Charlotte. And we should root for Becky because she's the underdog. That was the whole beauty of the Daniel Bryan storyline. And why we embraced him, because he was always the underdog. He was not the corporate chosen one, so to speak.
I mean, if you think about it, and I've shit all over the 2014, I think it was, Royal Rumble, or 13, one or the other. The Philadelphia one. I've shit all over it numerous times. It was the Bautista year. But that may have been one of the smartest things they've done in the past decade by not having Daniel Bryan win. Granted, I don't think it was planned. But my God, look at the repercussions of everything from it. It turned out brilliant. Much in the same way that losing Brett at the time felt like a huge blow, it was the best damn thing that could have happened. So sometimes I feel WWE definitely walks into something super lucky, and this might be a case of it, I hope.
Well, so far so good. I mean, I think Becky's been elevated because of all of this.
There is nobody close to Becky's level right now. This is possibly the first time I can ever say... Yeah, this is the first time I can honestly say a woman's been the most entertaining thing for more than a month in WWE. Because they usually botch the shit out of it. Even during Bliss's run, like there was other people, like Braun was killing it and shit like that. Right now, because they're killing so many of the guy male pushes, Becky is king, queen, whatever. She is on top of the fucking mountain right now. Perfect timing for Evolution, but once again, I don't know if any of this was intended, but good for her. I hope it lasts for a while to an extent, although I do hope that eventually WWE kind of unfucks themselves and gets some momentum with something else, too.
Yeah, and maybe, you know, move Charlotte to the back of the line for a while.
Yeah.
That's never going to happen.
Nope. But on the plus side, I hear Rick's going to be at Evolution.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good for him. It's always good to see Ric Flair.
Yeah. So what's our next segment?
We had the Tag Team Championship match, New Day versus The Bar, with The Bar winning the title and Big Show showing up and having his 5 millionth heel turn.
Are you sure it's 5 million?
I don't know. I think everybody's lost count at this point.
When it comes to heel turns, Big Show doesn't just set the bar. He is the bar. I mean, really. And then I hear that they want to call him Show Bar, and I'm like, wouldn't Bar Show be far cooler than Show Bar?
I like Bar Show.
Yeah. I mean, if you gotta do it, then Bar Show is way better than Show Bar. I don't know. It just sounds weird to me.
How about The Big Bar?
As a restaurant, did we mention Seth Rollins? Just
We're not even talking about raw, because if we talked about raw, we may have a medical situation with Russell.
Good chance of it. Like, at any point, like, I get it, maybe, like, if a child was watching, they're like, oh, Big Show's come down. But at no point would any logical person be like, well, New Day already has a 3-on-2 advantage. Do they really need a 4-on-2 advantage? No. So, like, was that not... on all-time list of predictable turns ever, that is one of the... obvious things are obvious, and whatever. I mean, it was good. They needed the belts off of New Day because they've already run through the tech division, I guess.
Oh, yeah, they've run through everybody.
So now the bar can... I mean, the bar now, you know, as we alluded to earlier, now can go against Usos because now they have momentum. So we're going to get Bar versus Usos. I'm so good with that.
That's a good matchup. I mean, we've seen it before, but it's still a good matchup.
Yeah, it's a really good matchup, and beyond that, I don't really know who else the Bar will feud with, because I know there's some good brothers on the sidelines, there's some Puerto Rican gentlemen, and there's some sane gentlemen. I don't know, eventually? Something?
I've heard rumors of these extra tag teams. I've just never seen them. Although I heard, I read an interesting story where a certain organization would love to have the Good Brothers back.
I have no doubt. And do we know when their contracts expire?
End of this year. There's a lot of contracts across the wrestling world that are up at the end of this year. It's going to be a very interesting start to 2019 to see where everybody lands.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, I know we're going to talk about it later, but I mean, either way, WWE is going to have money hand over fist that they can basically outpay anybody. It's going to be a question of comfort and happiness and money. If it's money, WWE. If it's others, it might not... I won't even say it might not be WWE. It won't be WWE, in my opinion. Right now, just because the roster's so loaded, it is tough as hell to get a push right now. It really is.
Yeah, and, now, and certain individuals where they might get lost in the shuffle.
Yeah. Honestly, I mean... Gallows and Anderson are freaking great. And no, they don't need to be pushed all the time, but they should be on TV at least once a month. At the very least. I mean, I'm not asking for anything beyond that, but at least once a month they should be seen in a match. It's not that complicated.
Not at all. It really isn't. I mean, the other other individual I heard that a certain organization would love to bring back is... Well, he's in the next match that we're going to talk about. But first, before we do that, we got to talk about the return of Rey Mysterio. Rey looks great.
I heard yesterday, last night, I think in the film Land of the Dead, if I'm not mistaken, I heard the term Booyaka in a song. I'm just saying, like, I was like, the fuck? And I started looking to see if, like, Rey Mysterio was possibly in the movie. But, like, it came out, I think, in 2005, and he did not have Booyaka then. So, then I was like, is Booyaka, like, a Spanish term for something that I don't know?
I don't know what it is, but, I mean, I've always associated it with Rey Mysterio.
Right, yeah, that's the only thing I've never known it for anything else. So, now that I've heard it, I don't know. I know a few Spanish-speaking people, so I will ask them.
Yeah, if we have listeners who speak Spanish, maybe they could enlighten us on this so we can be educated. Because I'm really curious now. But the thing that bothered me, though, at SmackDown 1000 was listening to the live crowd chant, "You still got it." Like, Rey Mysterio did not stop wrestling when he left WWE last time. Did you watch All In? Did you watch New Japan? Did you watch Lucha Underground? The guy has been around.
I don't think WWE fans that are invested in WWE have time to invest in other things. Like, if we're being honest, like, if you're a hardcore WWE fan, there's not enough time, unless you have no life, to invest in other things. Whereas, like, a person that, like, wants to see other alternatives, they suddenly are like, well, I'm going to fast forward or just miss an episode here and there of whichever weekly show. But if you're going to sit there and watch all 3 hours, then all 2 hours, possibly an hour of 205 or NXT or whatever tournament they have going on, you really start, plus a pay-per-view weekend, for fucking get about it. So that's the difference. I think either you're a full-fledged WWE fan, or you're a fan that watches and possibly acknowledges WWE exists. You know, like, what's going on. You know the big things, but you don't watch it. I don't think there's just not enough time in the week.
True, but even if you're a hardcore WWE fan, you still if you're a hardcore fan of wrestling in general, you should be up on, you know, the latest news and what's going on.
The internet, you would think that's a possibility.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many news sites out there where you can just read a story for 2 seconds and go, oh, that's what's going on in Lucha Underground. Like, I don't watch Lucha Underground anymore, but I know Marty the Moth is champ right now.
Yeah, it doesn't take much to be educated. You know, WWE is always going to be the home of the casual fan. I mean,
That's true.
Always going to be the case. I mean, the only time it wasn't a case was, I think, at one point WCW had a tighter grip on the casual fan base than WWE.
I mean, it was a great gateway. It was a great gateway into basically what I'm a fan of now.
Sure. Absolutely. There's wrestling out there for everybody. If somebody is a wrestling fan and they can't find something to satisfy them, they're not a fan of wrestling.
Exactly.
Like, there are so many alternatives and there's so many ways to watch it. It's a all-you-can-eat buffet, realistically. Which is great, but the fans were being stupid. The only thing I can think of when I heard he's still got, I was like, yeah, he did get in better shape. Remember Fat Mysterio?
Yes! And he wore the t-shirt and he looked like the fat kid at the pool.
And the Jericho stole his gimmick.
Oh, Jericho. I get to meet him next Saturday. I'm so excited. I found out exactly when I'm getting my... because for the cruise, I booked my cabin early. I booked it before the beginning of this year. So basically, if you booked your cabin before, I think, January 14th, you get a photo with Jericho. So next Saturday at 12:45, I get to get a photo with Chris Jericho.
Well, that's dandy. And I assume you're going to have Wi-Fi because they're going to be streaming some of the matches from the cruise, I read.
They are afterwards. I think afterward. November 2nd, they're going to be streaming some of the matches on Fight TV.
Oh, okay. My bad.
I mean, I won't watch it because I'll be there watching it, but I know that's happening.
Fair enough. So what'd you think about the match itself?
The match itself was good. I like Nakamura and Mysterio together. There's a lot of good energy there, and it was my second favorite match of the night. I really enjoyed the tag team up until the Big Show debacle at the end.
Yeah, when Shinsuke gets the right opponent and the right storyline, great things can happen. And yet, God damn it. Shinsuke on the main roster, that's a list. That is going to be a list. People who got called up from NXT that WWE just didn't get. Because I can think of at least 10. And I don't even know who's number one. Like, I really don't. I don't even know where to begin with that, because do you go with the people that could have really been something and they just said no? Or do you go with somebody like a Samoa Joe, a Finn Balor, or a Shinsuke that were high enough but never truly at the mountaintop, or in Finn's case, for a day? You know what I mean? I think that'd be a fun list, though.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, really, the one person who should be on that list, regardless of how we set it up and how we determine it, is Asuka. What have they done? Asuka and Bayley.
I was going to say, if we're going to say Asuka, we are saying Bayley, because, yeah.
Asuka a year ago was a dominant force. She was the unbeatable woman. No one in the company could touch her. Nobody in wrestling could touch her. And now, crickets.
Oh, man. They could cross-promote with Cricket Wireless since they already do some of that. Just have Asuka's entrance and be like, you hear that? It's Cricket Wireless. Come on, Cricket.
And then
support us.
We've said what we've already spoke our piece on Bayley. That you had marketing gold and they botched that completely.
Did the right person win this match?
I guess. I mean, if it's to be the stories coming out of that match to be believed, this isn't over between these two, and we're gonna see a U.S. title match down the road between two of them. So,
yeah. So, if since we're not gonna cover the matches from Raw, if I'm not mistaken, we have Cena, Angle. We have Dolph. We have Russell's penis getting hard, Rollins. We have Randy Orton, Miz, Ray, and somebody else I'm forgetting. An older wrestler, probably.
Probably. I mean, really, if you look at the photo right now, you would think it was 10 years ago. Or longer, actually, because Angle's in the photo.
God damn it. Who was the other person? I know Randy fought Big Show, so it wasn't Big Show. It's not Daniel. It's not AJ. It's Hardy.
Yep.
And he's been around even longer than everybody.
As I said, if you look at the photo, you would think it was like 2005 or 2008.
Who's been around longer, Ray or Hardy? I think Ray, but I'm not sure, because the Hardys wrestled earlier, but so did Ray, obviously. So probably Ray, I'm thinking. Then Jeff?
I don't know, but there's a website we could probably look this up to find out when each individual started wrestling.
Consider this thought. Randy Orton may be among the four youngest competitors in the World Cup.
Wow. Yeah. Him and the Miz are probably the two youngest. Cause how old's Dolph?
I think Dolph's probably older. Seth, I don't know.
Seth's actually probably the youngest. He's in his early 30s, I believe.
Yeah. Who do you think's winning that World Cup? Since you're not gonna be around to preview it. And I don't think they're going to do much to change your mind between now and then.
Do, 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 do.
Oh, Mr. Bald Spot, Mr. Long Hair. Yeah.
I kicked Nikki Bella out of my bedroom door on her ass. We'll talk about that in a little while.
I think it's going to be Seth that wins it. You know. The Shield needs one more accolade.
But do they really? I mean, they have all the belts already. Except for they don't have the tag team belt. They don't have the Raw Women's title. They don't have the Cruiserweight belt. By the way, I actually got to see the taping of 205 Live when I was there on Tuesday. I'm really impressed with the 205 roster. I wish we could see more of it. I wish they actually put it on normal programming. I actually got to see Tony Nese. Lilo Rush is amazing in the ring. And completely over with the crowd because it was his hometown crowd. And so I saw Tony Nese.
Was Mike Kanellis on it?
No.
So I heard he's 205 now.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, I heard that. I saw the Brian Kendrick. He's still alive. That's good. That's good to know.
There's another oldie but goodie.
Yes, yes, absolutely. But yeah, it was good to see it. But those guys are tiny. Like, tiny, tiny. Like, short.
Believe me, I've been to TNA live shows, and every time I'm like, I'm the tallest dude here. I tower over every wrestler every time I've been to a TNA show, so I imagine it's something similar.
Yeah, even a lot of the independent, like, Ring of Honor is another one where you go and you're like, I expected him to be so much taller.
The guy that surprised me the most, and I don't know if you even remember him, Matt Morgan?
Yeah, I do.
That dude was billed to be, like, in the high 6 feet, and I'm pretty sure, Steve can confirm this, I'm pretty sure I was taller than him, and I'm only 6'2". Unless, like, there was some weird height difference on, like, what we were standing on, but I'm pretty sure we were standing on the same floor. I don't get it. I really have no understanding of how he could be, because I've seen some older footage. I'm like, he looks like he's tall, but no. Very surprising to me on that regard. I'll tell you who was huge. Mike Awesome. That motherfucker in real life. I was just like, oh my God, you are huge. Just a large, beastly man. Like, not Big Show large, because we've seen him, and it's impressive to see him live.
Yeah. But
I mean, you know that. You expect him. But Mike Awesome, I wasn't sure, and then I saw him, I was like, just thick. This massive, tall, thick, muscular man. I was like, I'm terrified of this man. I assume that's probably what it'd be like to be like next to Brock Lesnar.
I was going to say probably standing next to Braun.
Braun would intimidate the shit out of me. No doubt. Braun totally would. I think Drew probably would too, though, in all fairness. So.
Yeah.
All right,
let's close out SmackDown 1000 with a discussion of The Undertaker.
Oh, yeah, that happened.
Yes. So, listeners, I actually, because you know how the standing joke is that The Undertaker's entrance takes like 10 minutes. Actually, I've timed it. It only takes a minute and a half.
So, that's something. I mean, granted, they had to cut down time. Are you sure Taker wasn't jogging to the ring?
No, he was doing his usual, very slow stroll to the ring. He wasn't jogging. It's only a minute and a half.
I gotta go back to something really fast, just because it's kind of funny. I just mentioned Mike Kanellis. A couple of days ago, while I was working on a blog, I had my Amazon playlist playing on my Miss Bliss. And his song comes on, because I have that on my list. And, like, it played for, like, 30 seconds, and then I lost internet. I was like, oh, that just encapsulates his whole career. And then, like, she goes, I'm having trouble playing this right now. I'm like, yeah, he's having trouble getting over. I get it, okay? I get it. So, I just wanted to share that little bit of story.
Wow, that really does describe his whole career. At least his WWE career.
Right, yeah. So, Taker's segment was 3 minutes. Taker said three words. Didn't he say those same three words on Raw, like, this week or last week or something like that?
I believe so, but I think the bigger story from that segment was the crowd booing as soon as he said Crown Jewel.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that. Yeah, we'll talk about that, yeah.
All in all, would you say that this was a good celebration?
It was a really, a good celebration. It was a good show. Initially, I kind of was worried about, buying the tickets going live. I mean, just because of how jaded I've been about the product lately. But I had a good time. I had a really good time.
My only sentiment was that I wish this would have happened next year, because so many guys were like, wow, 1,000. I'm like, yeah, but just like 9 months ago, you guys were touching each other's butts about Rob being 25 years old. Like, how many thousands of episodes have... Raw's so much older than SmackDown, so it's kind of like... It was just a bad year for both of those events to happen, because anybody with a memory would remember how, you know, they were tripping over each other's nuts trying to talk about that in January. So, other than that, though, I liked it. I had a lot of fun. It was the most wrestling I saw all week. But, you know, I know you're going to talk about this, so I'm going to introduce it. I'm going to say that there's something that you're going to talk about that I really wanted to watch. I just didn't make the time. But with that being said, I think we should take a visit to a corner of the room, make ourselves at home, have a little chat.
Yeah, it's actually quite clean over here. And it will be for a while, but we do have a little bit of impact in my corner this week. And let's talk Bound for Glory. Bound for Glory happened last weekend. Few interesting stories coming out of that. Let's look at the results first. We had a opening match was Matt Sydal and Ethan Page versus Rich Swann and Willie Mack. Rich Swann and Willie Mack picking up the win.
Who is Ethan Page? Do you know?
Never heard of him before.
I've heard of everybody else. I'd never heard of him. And I was like, I wanted to look him up, and then I lost focus by the end of what I was reading. So,
I mean, Matt Sydal is Evan Bourne.
Evan Bourne.
Yeah. Rich Swann, we all know who that is. Willie Mack, I remember him from Lucha Underground.
I believe he was in some other company some point. I can't remember what, though.
I think he just had a title shot or something against Cody, or he does have a title shot against Cody for the NWA championship. I actually got some, I have some NWA stuff after we cover Bound for Glory. Just to segue into that a little bit. So we had that match. The next matchup we had Eli Drake versus James Ellsworth. Speaking of things that were missed on SmackDown 1000, we missed some James Ellsworth. But
which saddens me greatly, quite frankly.
I do enjoy some James Ellsworth. James Ellsworth on the cruise is actually running the Flip Cup tournament.
That's amazing. Now, have you ever seen Eli Drake wrestle?
I have not.
Out of guys that you don't cover, which isn't much, but out of guys that you don't cover, I would highly recommend, when you get a chance, try to find something good with Eli Drake. The dude reeks of charisma. Part of me says he could get over in WWE, but then we all know how that story goes, so whatever. But he's still a really talented dude.
I'll check him out. Next matchup, we had the Impact Knockouts Championship between Tessa Blanchard and Taya Valkyrie. Tessa Blanchard retained. I like Tessa. I like her so much.
I don't have an opinion on any of that.
I just want to point that out there. There's a few female wrestlers out there that I like, and she's one of them.
I'm more excited for the other female segment.
Oh, yes, we'll get there. We'll get there, because you're going to need to explain it to me. Have you watched it? Because I need it explained
to me. No, that's like, based on what I read and based on what I know, I can make assumptions, but that's the main reason I want to see it. So, we'll get there.
Yeah, we'll get there. Okay, so the next matchup we had Moose versus Eddie Edwards. Eddie Edwards wins via disqualification due to interference by Killer Cross. Then we had Tommy Dreamer come out for the save, which turned into a tag match with Tommy Dreamer and Eddie Edwards versus Moose and Killer Cross in a no DQ tornado tag match. And Tommy Dreamer and Eddie Edwards picked up the win.
I'm so confused, because I swear early in the year they were heading towards the Eddie Edwards as a heel story because he was beating the shit out of Tommy Dreamer. Moose was like their number one face, and Killer Cross was like Braun Strowman, like you couldn't do anything to him. And now, like 6 months later, I saw that. I was like, what in the hell happened here? Like, I'm not up to date on Impact, but I'm very confused by everything. I don't know why when Moose turned, I don't know if Killer Cross still is like a guy to beat or if he's just another nobody. This all sounded so weird to me.
I wish I could explain it to you, but I don't really follow Impact. I know who some of these people are from other promotions, but I'm just as confused as you are. That Fair doesn't enough. Usually happen that often in my corner. It's refreshing.
Yeah, it's good to see on the confused side of the room with me sometimes.
Yeah, and at least I'm not botching names.
You're right. There are zero names to really botch here.
Let's see if I can do it. All right, so the next matchup we have Dave Crist, Jake Crist, and Sami Callihan versus Pentagon Jr., Phoenix, and Brian Cage in an OVE Rules match. I don't know what OVE Rules are. Is that an Impact thing? I'm not sure.
OVE is the name of the two Crists, and Sami Callihan stands for Ohio versus Everyone. I don't know what an OVE Rules is, but I'm assuming some kind of street fight, something, something, something.
All right. Well,
I'm just surprised by the outcome.
Yes,
a little bit.
Sami Callihan and company picked up the win, and Brian Cage got his first loss in Impact.
I thought they were going to ride Brian Cage undefeated. I thought he was going to be their Goldberg. I really did.
He's definitely got the physique to be a Goldberg. Next weekend, by the way.
I think he's short. But he's jacked and he can do all sorts of shit. Like him and Moose are actually like really good together because they're dudes that should not be doing the stuff that they do. So Brian Cage is going to be something, but I think he's going to be indie, quote unquote indie for life. I really do.
Yeah, the whole try to make it in WWE and failed thing probably is working against him.
Agreed.
All right, next matchup we have LAX versus the OGs.
Yes.
There's too many OGs in non-WWE wrestling.
Well, to quickly educate you, the OGs are made up of Homicide and Hernandez, who along with Conan used to be the original LAX. But then King got involved and then they had a new LAX. And so King and Conan were coaching up these two young guys, and then King turned his back on Conan, brought back the OGs of LAX, and this is how everything went down. So.
Oh, I learned something tonight. Well, this was a concrete jungle match, which basically meant they just pulled up the mat on the ring.
I laughed because I thought this was going to be like something outside, and instead all they did... Guys, you can't call the concrete jungle when you're wrestling on wood.
Yeah, but that wood's gotta hurt when you hit it.
Yeah, but you can't call it the concrete jungle. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it has to be out on the street for it to be the concrete jungle. That's the only thing. Like, that... You can't call it that. Call it something else. Don't call it the concrete jungle.
So it sounds like for this match, WWE was writing for it.
Yes, it sounds like Tommaso Ciampa may or may not have had some input on this. Yeah.
All right, let's move on and talk about the segment I know you're dying to talk about. We had the segment with Ali Soon Yi, right?
Soo Young.
Soo Young. Okay.
Hey, you did match the botcha name. Good
Yay!
For you,
I told you I was going to. And Rosemary was involved with this segment. And apparently, okay, I'm a little fuzzy on the details, but did Allie sell her soul or something? I'm confused.
I don't know everything that's going on, but... So I know that Soo Young and Rosemary had this great battle. And somehow that turned Rosemary face. And Soo Young became like this kind of Undertaker type character with her undead bridesmaids, and like it's this great thing, and then she ended up getting the belt from Allie just kind of went dark side, so I'm assuming at some point she did this whole selling her soul thing. Now am I I'm reading this, it sounds like this was supposed to be taking place in, like, another dimension, like, parts unknown or something. Is that
Yeah, what it was you're kind getting? Of like a broken universe type situation, I think.
Yeah, yeah. The whole thing just sounds... It sounds amazing, and it also sounds like WCW circa 2000. Like, Vampiro versus the Kiss Demon type. Amazing.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah.
Oh.
I need to see this. I need, like, I don't care about the quality matches. No, I need to see that segment.
I need to watch it just to see if I understand what's going on. Like, if I'm an outside observer going, okay, I've never watched any Impact before. Let's see what this is about. Oh, my God.
I don't think you win fans with segments like this, but maybe. I mean, you have hot chicks. Allie's hot. I don't know if... I think Rosemary's attractive. I don't remember... So young, it's tough to tell a lot of times. It's tough to tell with everything. But you have these attractive chicks doing crazy shit. There are guys out there that are totally into that. Myself, oddly included. What's wrong with me? Let's just move on.
Yep, let's talk about the main event. We had Austin Aries versus Johnny Impact. Johnny Impact is your new Impact World Champion. And apparently at the end, Austin Aries no-sold the ending, flipped up the crowd and Don Callis, and apparently is done with Impact at this point. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
Did you watch the press conference, though?
I have not seen it, but I've heard about it.
Okay, I think if you watch that, everything that you just said will make complete sense. I expected something completely different. No, Aries just didn't give a fuck, man. Like, it's funny because you see Joey Matthews? What the fuck's his name? The announce guy. Josh Matthews.
Yeah, Josh.
Yeah, he's like, all right, this is over. Like, this was unexpectedly over because, like, I think, like, a sponsor or something, somebody got, like, knocked over. The Impact thing that's, like, up on, like, the steel frame was getting, like, tossed back and forth. It was pure chaos. I was like, I'm shocked that they actually had the match. Because I really don't think that this was faked. I think that they were just legitimately pissed off at each other. They somehow got through the match, and probably because... I think Austin's a man of his word as far as, you know, he had the contract. And beyond that, I'm not at all surprised at what happened. I know Aries is taking a lot of shit for it. I don't know. I feel that Aries is possibly on the verge of getting a Punk reputation, for better or worse, being one of the best in-ring talents of his generation, but potentially not being the easiest guy to work with.
Makes sense. I mean, history would say that he's never always been the easiest guy to work with.
Exactly. I mean, what was it? Aries also the guy that had the crotch in the female's face incident years back?
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. He's doing God's work. I don't know where he'll pop up next. But he's got my attention yet again for being awesome.
I'm trying to think where he has left to go.
He could possibly go back to Ring of Honor, I guess. I mean, I know like all these companies are starting to try to work together though, so I'm not sure. This is like a bad time to suddenly pull that. I would say
it's a bad time to start burning bridges because yeah. Like, Impact's trying to work with Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor has agreements with New Japan. And
TNA with Lucha, I believe, as well.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, everybody's on, like, on the non-WWE world, it's kind of working together. Hell, even NWA is starting to work in with all of those groups. Because a lot of the people who you'll see on the shows for NWA are also on the other shows.
Okay, so are we talking about Dre or Cube here?
Huh? Oh, I got it took me a second there. Okay, I know what you're talking about.
N-words with attitudes. I'm really surprised they ever... I mean, it's... not. I don't want to say I'm surprised that they got away with it, but, like, the marketing for that's just a little difficult. You know what I mean? If you think about it, that's a tough name to market.
Yeah, especially in the time period they were popular.
Yeah, yeah. Did you know that Bud Bundy was very influential in that era of rap?
Really?
He owned one of the clubs where NWA first started out and got popular. David Faustino, if you've watched Married with Children, he went through that Grandmaster B phase. Oh, yeah. That was actually all part of like a real life thing for him. Yeah. We owe a lot of gangster rap to Bud Bundy.
Wow, I learned something else tonight. That's fantastic.
So that's my NWA input. What's yours?
Well, NWA 70s is Sunday. We're going to get Cody versus Rick Aldis 2 for the NWA World Heavyweight Championship. It's a best 2 out of 3 falls match.
Is this where Cody drops the belt back now, or do you think he's keeping it?
I don't know what's going on with that. I mean...
is Nick Aldis really that over? I don't know if he... like, you've seen more of him than I have lately.
He's done great things with the NWA belt. I mean, he's kind of put eyeballs on it. I mean, having it on Cody puts a lot more eyeballs on it. But, I mean, Cody's... basically, Cody's got 2 months left, and then it's kind of up in the air where he's going to land. And he also has the IWGP US title as well. So, I mean, I can see them keeping both belts on him, but really, I mean, I think Nick could do better things with the belt than Cody. But
well, Nick's kind of like wrestling mainly for NWA, so yeah. It makes sense for him to be the one that gets it back, I would guess. Unless there was like some guy that they really wanted to put over, you know, like, oh, this guy is the guy that took it off Cody. That's the only other reason you'd keep it on Cody right now, in my opinion.
Right. It's strange. It's also strange that Cody has the U.S. championship, too, but...
Strange things. Come back in June of 2019.
Oh, that's exciting.
And you know what else is exciting? Orange is New Black final seasons next year.
I don't care.
They're finally putting that dog to sleep.
They should have done that a long time ago.
Old Yeller. Just Orange.
Yes, exactly. Some of the other matches, though, in NWA 70, you got Jazz versus Penelope Ford for the NWA World Women's Championship.
Jazz is still wrestling.
Yeah, she is, apparently. They got a couple four-way elimination matches for the NWA National Heavyweight Championship. Some of the guys involved in that are Scorpio Sky, Colt Cabana, Willie Mack. Rest of these names I don't recognize. There's an open challenge for a tag team match. You got Jax Dane and Crimson with Road Warrior Animal.
Did you say Crimson?
Yeah.
Holy shit, there's a name I have not heard in a long time.
Yeah, this Sunday, NWA 70.
He used to be in TNA. He was a big dude.
Huh. Interesting. So that's
he was limited.
So that's my corner.
Fantastic. All right. I mean, we've got that out of the way. I mean, God, there's so much stuff that happened on Raw. Gosh.
Oh, I know. Let's dig into the biggest story from Raw, though. Let's talk about the roast of the Bellas. And Ronda.
In our segment.
Yes, in our segment, were you not entertained? So, listeners, each week we pick a segment from Raw or SmackDown, and we discuss whether or not we were entertained by it. And this week, as I said, we selected the Roast of the Bellas by Ronda Rousey, where she basically said that Nikki bashed down John Cena's bedroom door and then immediately got thrown out of it not that much afterwards. That had to sting. I mean, I know Nikki knew that it was coming, but that had to sting. That, I mean, the breakup, you don't just get over a breakup quickly, like the breakup that they had. So, I mean, yeah, she knew it was coming. Yeah, she knew she had to react to the cameras, but still, that just had to stab just a little bit. But there were parts in that promo where I cringed. There were parts where I stood up and did a golf clap. I cheered. I said, wow, somebody is actually saying this on TV, and the only person that would probably be allowed to do it is Ronda Rousey. So I have to say I was entertained. What about you, Kent?
And we've hit that. We're still in the reality era of wrestling where this is becoming more commonplace, where a little bit of the truth kind of leaks into a wrestling promo. And even though we're getting more used to it, it's still fun when it happens, providing that the person giving the promo is good on the mic. And that's where this gets a little funky cold Medina. Ronda still is trying to acclimate herself to the mic, and this was the best mic work that I've seen of her on WWE, but, I mean, I've seen her in interviews and stuff, and she's really comfortable doing, like, talk shows and stuff. I'm wondering if everything gets too scripted for her, where maybe it might be better to just kind of let her be a little bit more like herself, especially since she's still a face. I get scripting a heel promo more than a face promo, quite frankly. This was fun. It was fun. I mean, good to see the Bellas trading their red for black, just so everybody knew that they were heels and not faces. I didn't understand the point of the security team. Steve emailed me to make fun of the term eviscerate, and yeah, she probably wanted a different term, but you know, all in all, I'll give it a solid B+, so I guess I was entertained.
Is the plus for the security guard that basically screamed?
Yes, it is. And yet, I'm so worried that this is going to be the main event.
Oh, it is most definitely the main event. It shouldn't be. A certain match between a Flair and a Last Kicker should be, but...
Or Sasha versus Bayley in a 30-minute Iron Man match. I would not turn that down as a main event. Just saying, like, WWE, you still got a week to make that shit happen and relevant.
They've done it with less time before.
Right, like, it's okay, guys. You can give that match to us. Nobody's going to be upset. Like, just, you've already cut out one match. You made it into a tag match, so why not? Come on, just... You guys have no problem running overtime on pay-per-view, so just for the fans, huh? No, it's not going to happen.
Why make us happy? Why give us something we want? Why give Becky a main event of a pay-per-view? That would be nice. Nope, we got to give it to Nikki Bella.
Even SmackDown can't get the main event on Evolution. That's how you know SmackDown's the A-show.
Wow. Just wow.
Yeah.
It's the questionable things that WWE does that just makes us scratch our heads, isn't it?
Are you leading us right into something here?
I am.
That's nice. I like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, the political climate in the world today makes you question some of the WWE's decisions regarding a certain event that they're about to hold in a certain country that may or may not have killed a reporter. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of speculation right now, and I mean, I think it's a mistake. I don't know. I mean, I understand the whole business logic in it. I mean, it's a lot of money, and it's a contract and you're supposed to fulfill your contracts, but this just seems so dicey. What do you think?
I think they should go, and I think it should be voluntary. I feel that right now talent should be, they should have had a meeting with all the talent saying, if you're not comfortable, let us know so we can write you out of the program. And it really should have been free for anybody to write themselves out of it. But I do feel that more so than the money, because realistically, yes, it's a lot of money, but for a $1 billion company, it's not as huge as like people are making out to be. It's a chunk, it is, but it's not as huge. And yes, it is a contract. I'm not worried about either of those things. I'm really more concerned with, I think WWE is doing positive things by going there so far, what they've done. I feel that possibly in 10 years, we may actually get a women's match at a Crown Jewel-esque event. I do feel that progress will be made, and you can't make progress without some effort. There's going to be zero progress. Progress will be set back way further if they no-show. I would be inclined to say they may not have a women's wrestling match for the next 30 to 50 years. This would be a huge setback. And it's not just about women, but it is a lot about the women. I think it's best to do it, but I get why a lot of people don't want to do it, and I don't think they should be forced to. That's my whole thing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of in agreement with you. There should be the discussion where if you don't feel comfortable going, which a lot of talent has, they haven't said exactly who, but a lot of talent has expressed, hey, I don't really feel comfortable going over there, at least with the current situation in the world.
Yeah, and I don't blame them, although I'm sitting here thinking, like, yeah, at some point, if I was in their shoes, would I get butterflies? Sure, but the reality is they're with all these important people. They're probably in a very safe, like, they're probably the safest visitors that are going to visit the country this year. You know what I mean? Like, you can't be much safer. Like, as long as everybody stays in groups, the prince loves this stuff. Like, they're kind of safe, right? But I still understand the trepidation. It's such a weird topic, and it's something that I'm not as well informed enough to make real opinions on what happened with that reporter. So far, it's just talk, speculation, right?
Oh, it's complete speculation. I mean, for the past week, there's been so many stories. I mean, at one point last weekend, they were saying that the guy's like Apple Watch or something, like, recorded the guy's death, and that was proved to be, I guess, Bupkis. And it's just, there's so much speculation, and no, there's no proof, there's no actual stories. It's just, this guy went in, never came out. Which, sounds suspicious to begin with. But to say, hey, WWE, you shouldn't hold your event because of events we can't prove or without evidence, and that there's no immediate threat to your talent, that's a little, it's like everything else is so politicized in this country. Let's politicize professional wrestling too. Let's just, add politics in there too. Like, they haven't stuck their noses into enough stuff.
I would go so far, and this is going to sound horribly Don Callis here. I just want to say Don.
Well, I always think Don Callis is right, so.
I guess my thought is, all right, if we find out that the guy was killed there, how much does that really change things, though? I mean, we are the U.S. where we have, like, the most ridiculous murder rate in the freaking world. When the hell did we get to be the moral high ground here? Because people are dying left and right in our own country. Like, I'm not trying to say minimize this person's life. I'm just saying feels a tad hypocritical on some level that one person's death is causing this much of a potential controversy, but that is the climate we live in. And I mean, I would admire a company saying no if it was found true. That's fine with me, but there needs to be some proof. I'm sick of everything being jumped to conclusions without enough proof. That's all. Like, just proof, you know, innocent till guilty type shit, you know, that's all. Is it true? I don't know. I'm not even going to sit here and go, yeah, it's probably true. I'm not even going to be that stupid American. I'm just going to say, I don't know yet. And until, you know, otherwise, I mean, this affects so many people in so many ways. It's not like people in America are going to be like, oh, I feel so much safer now that WWE's not going to Saudi Arabia. Like, it doesn't affect anybody. Like, the only people it kind of affects is, like, the wrestlers' families. Which, once again, we've kind of come to the conclusion that they are as safe as anybody's realistically going to be.
Right.
I wish we weren't having this conversation. I wish there was something more important, but this is really something that's big, and it's not going away until the event happens or doesn't happen or gets moved to a location. The last thing I really want, I don't want the government to step in. That's one thing I don't want. If WWE says no, I want it because they say no, not because our government sticks their noses into it. That will piss me off.
I don't really, with the current political climate and, like, who's in charge and stuff like that, I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, basically, there's no evidence. It's all speculation. And really, anything that's being said right now in the media or what have you is political grandstanding, which, of course, given the fact that we're about to have a midterm election in this country, yes, political grandstanding is at an all-time high, regardless of the situation.
You know what? I love the fact that I have never voted in my life.
I stopped. Living down here, you get desensitized to it because it's in your face 24/7. You turn on the local news here, and what would be your national news is our local news. And it's ridiculous. I mean, you go down to a metro station here in D.C., and you'll have all the local politicians running for office. You'll get that in your face. You get the federal elections in your face. It's consistently in your face, and I'm just so desensitized to it. I'm so, like whatever about it at this point, where I know that even in the presidential election, my vote goes to a Democrat anyway. I mean, so right.
That's what it's like to be in
matter.
New York, too.
Exactly.
As you know. Like, it doesn't matter if you're a Republican or Democrat. New York's voting Democrat, whether you like it or not. And that's neither here nor there. It's just the way it goes here in this particular state with our particular setup. And so I don't care. I know people are like, well, local is where it's really at in voting. I'm like, I'm not going to educate myself on it. I'm not going to spend my, I have things that I would much rather do. Yeah, but it affects us all, man. Yep, it does. But I accept, like, nothing that's going to be done on a local level is really going to truly affect me on a huge scale. It's all minor bullshit, really. It's mostly minor bullshit. The most thing that's going to affect me is everybody else bitching and moaning about it. That's what affects me. Not who gets elected. It's the bitching and the moaning.
Well, the thing is that you have the people who complain. And those are the people who are just like, well, you know, but you don't go out and it's the whole, like, you complain. Yeah, you put these people in office. If you don't think they're doing a good job, then don't vote for them. It's quite simple, really.
Yeah, voting in itself is a very simplistic idea that, I don't know. As you, I think you know, like, this country has just gotten in such a weird place over the past decade or so. I mean, I'll give you an example. I recently reviewed Tales from the Hood 2. Now, the original one came out, say, like, 95. And I think back to, like, our teenage years, because we're about the same age. I think about in our teenage years, I don't remember racism really being, like, a big thing. Like, it felt like a thing of the past, right?
Yeah. It's it's made a resurgence. It's social media has really just brought every, like, insecurity, neuroses that everybody has and just has brought it out in the forefront.
Right. And that's, like, so, like, to me, it's just weird because I was like, I don't remember racism being a thing. I never really considered it. By the same token, I grew up on fucking hip-hop and shit like that. But, I mean, so it didn't strike me, even being in a podunk area like this, racism wasn't a big thing. You know, yes, you'd always have somebody telling an off-color joke or something, which is what it is, right? But by and large, it wasn't like this inherent stream of racism. And it got to the point where I reviewed Tales from the Hood 2, and I'm like, holy shit, like, I have to put, like, an editor's note that was, like, two fucking paragraphs in the beginning of being like, hey, don't hate me for having an opinion here, because you almost kind of have to say that now in certain positions, you know? White man having an opinion on something like this, it can be a little touchy-feel. I was like, Jesus, 10 years ago, I would have never worried about that. I never would have. So,
I mean, even like to your point, I mean, when we were in high school, this never happened. Like, it was never discussed. Everybody kind of coexisted in the same space. I mean, I went to a bigger city public school, either when I was in Amsterdam or when I was in Connecticut. I was still in a quote unquote inner city school. And I mean, where really, to be honest, I felt like I was in the minority half the time. And there wasn't nobody was called out on it. Everybody just kind of coexisted in the same space. There wasn't the call to call out your differences that there are now.
There wasn't a means to either, where apparently there's been these cowards all along that have been thinking. To the point where, you know, I feel like I even have people on Facebook that I, like, started unfriending. I'm like, Jesus, where the hell, where has this side of you been all of these years? Because it's a tad frightening. Like, I didn't know you to be that crazy type of shit. But people are not afraid to say things anymore. Social media has caused more negativity than positivity, and it's not even, like, a close ratio. It's for every one positive thing, there's, like, three negative things that come out of it. It's ridiculous.
I mean, like, all you have to do is go to a wrestler's, like, Twitter page, and you just see the negativity there, too. It's like, if you don't like this person, why are you responding?
Right. Yeah. I understand. It's not even responding. It's the way that people are just like, oh, you're a fucking idiot. Why not come back with something more debatable? Be like, here's my argument. That's all. Like, that's all there is to it. Like, this is how I feel. I'm not going to insult you unless you're telling me that Charlotte Flair's talented. Then I will. But, yeah, I mean, people claim that, like, they're just debating. No, you're just name calling by and large. That's like, we're not seven. Like, this is how you settle shit.
It's your name calling and basically hiding behind your computer. That's exactly what people are doing now, and it's ridiculous.
I miss, over the summer, ESPN stopped having Facebook comment sections on every article, and I admit I miss it, because within five posts, you would see, so somehow there would always be like, well, you're a liberal, you're a conservative, like this, whatever, like these idiots would go back and forth. I was like, oh, I kind of miss those days, but oh my God, I saved so much time not reading all of it. Like, it was my comedy for the day, but simultaneously, it got to the point where, yeah, it's just name calling. Wrestling's no different. Everybody's just like, it's my, like, people can't just be like, it's my opinion and accept that. People are like, it's my opinion and it's right.
And you have to side with me.
Right, you have to acknowledge it or else we're bitter enemies and I hate you.
Yeah, it's so ridiculous. But in short, just to close this out for you listeners, I say go over there, see if you can change the world.
Yeah.
Make the world a better place. I mean, that's kind of their whole social, like, improvement strategy anyways for WWE. I mean, what better place than go to a country where, you know, women are oppressed and questionable decisions may or may not have been made by the government. Let's make the world a better place instead of tearing everybody apart like we have been for the past decade.
You can still make fun of Russ as much as you want, though. It's okay.
He makes it so easy. All you have to say is Seth Rollins. And, yep, I just heard it. I heard it all the way down here.
He felt it all the way down there.
I mean, that thing just springs up.
Oh, God. You know, I mean, good for him. He'll never need Viagra as long as Seth is wrestling. That is a perk. There is that perk.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Oh. So we've covered this week. We've talked about politics. We've talked about Ronda roasting the Bellas and how kind of disastrous that was. But really, what are you looking forward to next week? Yes, listeners, it is time for our segment. I'm not finished with you yet. I know what I'm looking forward to because it's almost that time. And at this time next week, I will be boots on the ground in Miami getting ready to board a ship with Chris Jericho. So that's what I'm looking forward to next week. What about you, Kent?
I'm looking forward to Apollo and Elias.
I like this. I like the idea of it. I want to see where it goes, but if it's... They're going to WWE it. Dang it.
They are. But if they would just give Titus the mic and Elias the mic for 3 to 5 minutes and then have a good match, this could be something really fun. It doesn't, I mean, not main event, but it could be one of those fun fillers. Yeah, that's what I'm most looking forward to.
I like it. All right, Kent, I think it's time I play everybody's favorite game.
I thought Batista did that Tuesday.
I think he wants to, and I think we're all going to have to suffer through it at WrestleMania.
Yep.
Yep, all right. That's your first match booked for the Mania.
Take a drink every time I say ya.
It's time to play Guess the Wrestler. All right, listeners, the rules of Guess the Wrestler are extremely simple. Each week, one of us picks a wrestler. This week, it's my choice to pick a wrestler, and it's up to the other person or persons whenever Russ decides to, you know, come out from worshiping Seth Rollins.
We're going to have Steve back before Russ comes back, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's up to the other person to guess who that wrestler is using nine questions and two guesses. Each week, the person who's picking the wrestler gives two gimme answers, which I will give right now. This is a current wrestler, and it is a male.
For first-time listeners, they're probably like, why does this bitch keep saying gimme? Like,
okay, so the backstory on that is for the longest time, did not say gimme. I said, give me? Basically, Russ called me out on it. The last time he was on the show, which was months ago at this point. And at every chance I get since, I have basically made it to point to highlight that word that I'm saying correctly. So now that you're up to speed, listeners, let's play.
Okay. God, Russ is still working off that pregnancy weight. Fat fuck. All right. Is this a WWE
person? Yes.
I don't know. Wait, this isn't really a question. Did that encapsulate the... Did that imply that this person has wrestled the way I asked it, or does currently wrestle? I just need to know if that's...
It's a current WWE wrestler.
Okay. Are they on SmackDown?
Yes.
Are they a heel?
Yes.
All right. Wish it would have been face, because they have so many less faces. What color hair?
When he had hair, brown.
Oh. Hair. Okay. Is this person currently in a tag team?
No.
Oh, shit. Highest championship won in WWE.
He was world heavyweight champion at one point.
Okay. Did we see this person on SmackDown 1000?
Yes.
Okay. Was this the first time we've seen him in a very long time?
Yes.
Is he from Washington, D.C.?
No.
Mother dick. Okay, so it's not Big Dave. Wow. Color me confused. Is he... Did he also wrestle in WCW?
Yes.
Prior to Tuesday, did he turn heel 4,999,999 times?
Possibly.
Yeah.
Okay. The count is not exactly accurate.
It's not official, but I think we need Guinness on the phone. All right, so... My final question, and this is more for Russ. Was he ever filmed riding on top of his father's casket while the Big Boss Man drove?
Yes.
Fantastic. I will guess the Big Show.
Yes, and you would be correct.
I can't believe that they showed that numerous times. I was like, oh my god, I didn't think that was something that they were proud of. That's something that I've long been proud of them for, but I thought that was like a thing they wanted to wipe away from history.
I mean, they said that, you know, they 2 weeks ago, they said that Samoa Joe trespassing on AJ Styles' property was the worst thing that ever happened in WWE history. And then in SmackDown 1000, what do they show? Big Show on a casket.
His father's casket and Big Boss Man was... I can't remember if it was like the funeral or if he dug up the casket. I don't even remember, but rest assured,
Big Show. I think it was the funeral.
But Samoa Joe just ringing AJ Styles' doorbell, the worst thing that ever. Wow.
I have two words for them about that situation. Katie Vic.
Oh, God. I'd hit it. Of course, so Triple H.
Hey, he's got some questionable choice in women, but that's a story for another time.
This is true. This is true.
All right. Any announcements for our listeners before we close out for the show?
Yeah, let's say possibly by the time that we record next week's episode, there may be a horror podcast. If there is, you know what, I'll just let people know. And if there isn't, then I'll be announcing this kind of like again next week. But either way, there'll be an update on the horror podcast for next week. Keep checking out 9deuce.com because I'm doing a lot of zombie stuff right now because the topic of the month is zombies. So if you're a fan of zombies, you'll be digging this. If you're not a fan, still go to 9deuce.com and enjoy our wrestling stuff or any of our number of TV shows. We've been doing Walking Dead, American Horror Story, Mayans MC, and The Purge. And Walking Dead. Season 9, Episode 2 was this past Sunday, and they killed off a person named Ken. Last season, they killed off a person named Kent, and I'm starting to take a little bit of offense to what they're doing. Just saying. But I think Steve's going to be on with us next week, as far as I know. Because I asked him to, thinking that you were going to be gone next week. And I was wrong.
Oh, exciting. I always like talking with Steve. I always learn so much.
He brings a very, very interesting perspective to the conversation, no doubt.
So wait, we're going to have Steve next week. We potentially might have Russ if he takes his head out from underneath Seth's ass.
Yep. And all of a sudden, our talking time will go down 80%.
And Russ will be monopolizing the conversation again. Listeners, I pick on him. But he's a good guy. We like him.
He's an okay guy, huh?
I just feel like I've really intensified my picking on him the past few weeks, and I just needed a disclaimer that.
Yeah, I'm hoping it carries on once he's back, quite frankly.
I plan to. Especially since his boy just challenged mine.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be a treat. Eventually. Not for another 2 to 3 years, though. I truly don't think that's going to happen for, I'd guess, 2 years. Maybe three.
It sounds about right. I think at this point, I mean, Omega has the title. I don't think they're going to take it off him because they want to expand into the U.S. market. And he's the most recognizable person on their roster right now. And he has unfinished business in Japan with Ibushi. So
the only hope is that WWE starts mending fences more with indies, but we don't foresee that happening.
What we need to happen is have Vince just get so wrapped up in the XFL that Triple H takes over everything, and then we may actually have that possibility.
That is that would be very interesting. So. You never know. It could happen. It's a dream scenario for two people. It's it's something. So
yeah, it's gonna make Russ and I very angry at each other and Kent want to slit his wrists.
Yep, got the knife ready already. So with that happy note.
Listeners, please check out our website, 9deuce.com. Check out our wrestling blogs, our TV blogs, our movie blogs. There's a lot of movie blogs up there right now with the month of October going on. So be sure to check all those out. Our podcast is also up there. So if it's your first time listening to this and you want to listen to more and find out some of the inside jokes that we talk about prior to this and you want to listen to the earlier episodes, go check those out as well. If you're listening to us on iTunes, hit the subscribe button, leave us a review. The negative reviews go to Russ because why not? And with that, for Kent and myself, we wish you all a good night and we'll talk to y'all next week.
Burn it down.
Yeah, that's going to be an ugly show if that matchup ever happens.